Well, we're in a series called Under Construction. As you see in our lobby, things are still under construction. But this place is getting better. Whenever you do something, put something under construction, reconstruction, or remodel, you want to take something that was good and you want to make it better. As believers, we are under construction as well. You know, God takes us the way we are, right? He doesn't wait till we change. He takes us the way we are, and then he takes us through a construction process. For some of us, he is restoring something because he took us the way we are. Then we jumped out of his hands, did our own thing for a while. So he has to restore some things. And some of us just got old in our faith, and he has to remodel us, you know? Not old in age, old in faith. You know, we get rusty, religious, right? And God says, no. Religion is pride, and I need to tear some walls down and build you up again. If you are going through something in your life, you're probably under construction. Construction is not a fun process. There's a lot of dust. There is a lot of garbage. When you're building a new house, there's piles of dirt. There's 2x4s laying everywhere. There's nails everywhere. Construction is not a fun process. Wouldn't you agree? But the finished product is amazing. And so if you're going through some kind of a trial today, if you're going through some kind of temptation today, listen, just know that you are probably under construction. And as a Christian, we're constantly under construction because God is building a magnificent house for himself. We're under construction. Now, if you know anything about God, usually we don't call God this, but I just wanted to remind you today that God is a general contractor. If you're under construction, God is the main guy, the main God who is doing all this work. Did you know that God is a builder? God is the greatest builder. See, we think God is a just God. God is loving God. God is consuming fire. God is what do you think of God as holy, right? God is holy. But do you ever think of God as a builder? Because that's what he is. God is a constructor. God is a builder. Look at this world that he has built for us. Look at the stars at night that he has constructed for us. God is an amazing builder. God is an amazing creative builder. When I was younger, I lived my life on such a fast-paced life. You know that movie called The Click? Adam Sandler, where he lives his life, he just clicks it through. That's kind of how I lived my life. And for our first two kids, they're 11 and 10 today, I kind of almost didn't notice them grow up. And we had a little surprise, a third baby named Hadassah. She's a blessing. And we have to relearn how to be parents again. Because sometimes we live our lives so fast, trying to achieve our goals, trying to become successful, where we miss life. I don't remember training our two kids to go potty training. I just don't. I know they don't have diapers anymore. But how it happened, I don't remember. Sometimes we need to slow down and look and enjoy what God has given us. Did you know that this year I enjoyed spring like I've never enjoyed it before? Why? Because I have learned to slow myself down and smell the flowers. Guys, how many of us live our life, we're stressed out, we're like, God, where are you? This Christian life is supposed to be good, but I'm stressed out, I'm full of anxiety, depression, I can't sleep at night, God, what's going on? And God says, look, I created this whole beautiful world. I particularly enjoyed the crabapple trees blossoming in this spring. Guys, this spring, I have enjoyed spring like I've never enjoyed it before. I've seen this spring like I've never seen it before. And every time I look at it, I said, God, wow. I went into lilac bushes and I went like this. Oh, at my mom's house. We have them too. We have this crabapple tree in the backyard. And it was full of flowers like never before. I went in and I felt like I was going to get drunk on that amazing smell. And I'm looking at these beautiful little things and I'm like, oh. This spring, I was able to lay down on the grass in my backyard with my kids and just look up. True story. Never been able to do that. I've just been so busy building the church, building the business, building the house. I mean, just everything else but enjoying God. And I am amazed that here in South Dakota, that we have about 3 months of summer, but yet how beautiful it is out here. Sometimes I have this thing on my Instagram where I, the nature, different beautiful scenes of nature. And I always go like, wow, I was there, but how come I didn't see that before? Because somebody slowed down long enough to look and observe and then take a shot. And I'm like, what are we missing? What else are we missing in this life, guys? Right? God is a constructor. He's a builder. And he has not stopped building till this moment. He created this world in 7 days, but in heaven, building projects are still happening. Did you know that? Heaven is not finished yet. I don't think it's ever going to be finished because it's getting bigger and bigger. Jesus said this. He said, I am going to go and in my father. Okay, slow down. In my father's house, there's what? Many mansions. What? There's buildings there. There's big cities there with big walls. He says, in my father's house, there's many mansions. But even if it wasn't so, I'm going to go and build some for you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. God is amazing. Whenever we go down south to like Florida or something, to the ocean, I mean, I enjoy that beautiful building of God. And if you go deeper into every leaf and DNA structure, and it's all beautiful. God is a builder. If Adam and Eve didn't sin, there would be no religion. It would just be relationship with God, and we wouldn't know holy, none of this stuff. We would just be in Him. And that's what's going to be after we are with Him again. Amen. So God is a builder. Now, He is love. I'm not saying He's not. He is a righteous judge. He is holy. Yes, that's all good. But He's a builder. And this God who can build this magnificent world wants to be involved in your building. If you had all the money in the world and you had two contractors to choose from to build your house, would you choose one who kind of built a crappy house, Or would you choose the one who built this magnificent, awesome house? Money's not an option. Who would you choose? Choose God. He knows what He's doing. He's proven it. He's got a track record. Come on, smile, somebody. Smile, somebody, and clap your hands. So today, I'm going to talk about that God wants to build our faith. Okay? It says in the Bible that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is like the most important thing. Faith moves God. Faith moves mountains. And God says, I want to build faith in you. And some of you will say, well, I already believe. Okay, that's great. But you know, there's different levels of faith. Amen. When we start with God, we're just in the beginning stages of our faith. And then God, what He does is He builds our faith into this magnificent, awesome, beautiful building that He wants to create. So today we're talking about 6 phases of faith. Do you know that God uses a very predictable process to build your faith and your character? So when we say God is a builder, we want to know, what is He going to build in me? How is He going to build in me, right? So God has a predictable process that we can observe in other people's lives throughout the Bible and through the people we know. And we can see the predictable process by which God builds our faith. If you don't understand this process, when life gets hard, when your Christian walk gets hard, you will get discouraged, especially when problems arise. I see a lot of people who get on fire for God, but then problem comes. And then that's it. They go back to the old ways they were doing things that didn't work in the first place. If you don't understand this process, you might get discouraged. You might be filled with doubt. And God wants you to understand how He works. If you don't understand the process and don't cooperate with what God is doing in your family, in your faith, in your character, you will get very discouraged, guys. So let's go to the points. Point number one, how does God start building your faith? How? He gives you a dream. God gives you a dream. How many of you here have a dream of some sort? Amen. Lots of you. Amen. He gives you an idea. He gives you a goal. He gives you an ambition. I want you to see something. We're going to read a few scriptures because I kind of started preaching without reading scripture. So let's go to Psalms 127 verse 1 and 2, and then we'll go to Hebrews and 1 Corinthians. So let's go and read that. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. I just had a word. Some of you have, God has been building something great in your life. This is personal now. This is not general. I don't know who this is for. And you stop building. And you kind of walked away. You didn't lose faith in God, but you stopped building on your dream. And God says, today, something is going to come alive in you. He's going to revive something. He's going to resurrect something that's kind of died down in you. In Jesus' name, let it be so. All right, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. For every house is built by someone, but he who builds all things is God. So what is it saying? Unless the Lord builds a house, he who builds all things is God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. Let's read that. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's, say it, building. God is a builder. You are God's building. He's working on you. Just don't get away from him. Don't say, God, stop building, God. I don't want you to build anymore. Let him keep building your life, because when he's done, the work that he began, he will finish. When he's done, it's going to be magnificent. So God starts building with a dream. When God wants to do something in your life, he gives you a dream. God comes to a guy named Abraham who's 75 years old, and he says, Abraham, trust me, and I will give you a son, and I will make you a great nation. God says to Abraham, look at the stars. Can you count them? Abraham's like, no. That's how many descendants you will have. Look at the sand and the sea. That's how many descendants you will have. And today, Abraham has a lot of descendants. We're not talking about just Jewish nation. We're talking about the new Jew. That's us, Christians. Because through Jesus Christ, did you know that you are part of God's Abrahamic family? You are a part of Abraham's tree. Yeah. That's why we stand for Jerusalem and Israel, because we are a part of Israel. We are Israel. No, maybe my parents were Gentiles, but in Jesus Christ, I just heard this new statistic, 2.3 billion people, one-third of people on earth are Christians today. How many Jews, how many people have died, how many people who are still going to live, we don't know when Jesus will come, amen? There's going to be a lot of people in heaven, amen. Hope Jesus has all the cities prepared for us. I think he will. That's why he's not taking us yet, all, because he's preparing a place. But he's coming soon. But he's coming soon. Amen. Amen. So he starts with a dream. Joseph, before God can use him, starts with a dream. When Paul, who was a un-Christian, far from being a Christian, was persecuting the church, was on his way to kill Christian in Damascus, Syria. On the way to Damascus, Jesus appears to him. Knocks him off his high horse. Says, I am Jesus who you're persecuting. And then he says this, for you are my chosen vessel. You know what that means, chosen vessel? You're somebody I'm going to use. And I'm going to use you to bring the gospel to the nations and to different people. And you will suffer a lot for me. So here's the dream God gives him. And Paul ended up being the greatest apostle, in my opinion, that ever lived, who changed the world. Through his writings, through his few letters, he changed the world. Peter is fishing, didn't catch anything all night. Jesus comes to him and says, follow me, Peter, out of nowhere. And I will make you fisher of men. Peter leaves everything and goes after him. A dream. Did God give you a dream? To some, God has given a big dream. But for most of us, it's a small piece that we're supposed to do. Was telling my kids that not everybody was Moses in Moses' days, but everybody was a part of this big God's plan. Not everybody is a general in an army, but the soldiers take the same glory that the general does, although they don't get maybe noticed as much. They're a part of this big plan. So you don't have to be a big shot. You don't have to be number one and number two in the kingdom of God to be successful and fulfill God's destiny for your life. If you are, be that. If you're not, play that piece, play this little part that God has assigned you to do. But God has given every one of us a dream. Young people, God has given you a dream. And it's not going to happen in your 20s probably. It's going to be fulfilled throughout your lifetime. When I was young in my 20s, God gave me this dream. And I thought, okay, I got to do it in a year. And after a year, when it didn't happen, I got discouraged. After 2 years, 5 years, I was ready to quit on God. And then God kind of spoke to me. I don't know how, but just inside, he said, this is a lifetime thing. This is a lifetime thing. Some of you gave up on ministry. Some of you gave up on things in your life that God has given you because you're like, well, it's not, nothing is happening. It's a lifetime thing. God is not in a hurry. He doesn't care so much about what you accomplish. He cares about who you become as a building. God cares about who you become instead of what you accomplish for him. He wants you instead of what you can do for him. I'm preaching. God gives us a dream. How does he give us dreams? Different ways. Different ways God gives us dreams. Sometimes it's what you're good at and he says, you can do this for me. Job chapter 33. Let's read that. Job chapter 33. I'm excited about that. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet a man does not perceive it. How many times God spoke to me or you and you didn't get it? Hundreds, yeah. So he speaks in a dream, in a vision of the night, when a deep sleep falls upon man while slumbering under their bed. So God sometimes speaks to us at night. You don't always have to remember what he said. Sometimes God takes weeks and months to speak to us. And then one day you're walking around and you're like, God, I think you've called me to do something. Just out of nowhere. See, a lot of us think God will appear to us in a burning bush, like to Moses. Moses, Moses. Or to Paul on a horse. You don't want him to appear to you like that. Moses started stuttering after that. Paul had vision problems after that. You don't want God to appear to you. He'll freak you out. You, some of you are like, God, I want to see an angel. No, you don't. Because you don't want to see an angel. If he shows you, he shows you. One night, it did have a vision of an angel. I freaked out so bad. I was like this, guys. I'm going to show you. Like that. Now, I wish I asked him, what do you want? I wish he was about 6'2". He had a breastplate that was like metal, polished metal, you know. He had a sword like this. He had wings behind him, and I couldn't see his face because the wings were so bright and his face was so bright. I couldn't see him. And now I'm like, stupid, stupid, stupid. Why didn't I say something? God obviously sent him to me, but I was so scared. I mean, I was so scared. Guys, I was, the fear that you get, it's not like the devil. You know, you see a scary movie. Ah! It's not like that. It's not like you see a vampire or something like that, you know, in a movie. Angels are bad angels. I mean, God's angels are holy. And I just kind of said, no, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. And my prayer before that, God, I want to see an angel. Now it's like, no, it's okay, God. It's okay, right? So God will give us a dream. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2:13. You know this verse. It says this, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So God is working inside of you right now, making some dream come alive, making some plan come alive, something he wants you to do. Maybe your neighbor he wants you to talk to. God is doing something. For it is God who is working both in you to will. What is will? He wants you to will something. He wants you to desire. He's working in you to produce a desire for something. A dream for his good pleasure. Mothers, you have a dream today. Maybe it's just to raise kids, to be godly, to love Jesus. You have a dream for, maybe you have a dream for a small house or a big house. Or maybe you have a dream for a car. I know these are material things, but God put us in material world. So we do have to live. We just got to make sure that those material things don't hold us in bondage. Okay? But nothing wrong with having a nice car and a house and clothes. Right? But it's not the first thing we should seek. Seek first the kingdom of God. So when you become a Christian, God gives you a kingdom dream. See, if you say, I don't have a kingdom dream. Well, that's a problem then. Because you must have first the kingdom dream. Seek first the kingdom dream. What is a kingdom dream? Well, what did Jesus come to do on this earth? For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. So if you don't know what your dream is, it's bringing people closer to Jesus. That's your Christian dream. Not a teenage dream, but a Christian dream. Christian dream is to bring people closer to Jesus. But then God gives you other dreams for your family, for your job, for your career, for whatever. He wants to give you a dream. No one here should live a life without a purpose. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he told me a story of a pastor who got called to pastor. And he pastored for like 25 years. And then one day he got tired of people criticizing him, people judging his sermons. He got tired of people just, you know, people being people. You know, the sheep bite sometimes. Sheep bite. And he got tired of that. And he said, against everybody's counsel, they said, just take 3 weeks off, take a month off, you know, get away. Just seek God a little bit. He's like, no, I'm done. When he was done, and that was his purpose from God. Be careful what you just let go that God has given you. Because that was his purpose of God, he had nothing else to do. So before you know it, he backslid and backslid and backslid and backslid to the point where he's not living a godly life anymore. That's what happened to David, guys. Remember that? David was a king. He was the commander-in-chief. As a chief commander-in-chief, he's supposed to go and be at war. And so David sends his army, his boys, his young men to war. And he himself goes on the roof of his house and starts peeking at women, taking showers in their houses. And before you know it, David was not in a place he's supposed to be. He lost his dream. It's dangerous to lose a dream. It's dangerous to live a life. When we were remodeling, we had homeless people come into our church trying to help. And I asked him, what's your dream? I don't know. What do you want to do in life? I don't know. I don't know. That's a dangerous place to be. You must always have a dream before you. Why? Because dream is exercise of your faith in God. You got to have a dream big enough where you can't achieve it without God. David caused a lot of pain in his family. He goes and gets a woman. He sends a servant to pick up a woman who's married, right? Help me out. Don't get shy. Kids should be in kids' church. And then he invites her in. He gets her pregnant. He tries to get her husband to take responsibility. Uriah, remember that? A husband is so full of character, way more than King David. A man after God's own heart, guys, had lost his dream. So he sends a note with Uriah to the general. Says, put Uriah in the front lines and then back away. And God says, you murdered him. And you took somebody else's wife. And he says, the sword will never depart from your house because you're a public figure. And what you did is you caused others in Israel to look at you and say, huh, if he did it, I can do it. And we're still doing it today. How many people you know who's doing something they shouldn't be doing and say, well, but David did it. But David did it. You know, what do you want from me? David did it. And he's, so dream, amen. God wants you to have a dream for your life. In Jeremiah, God says, I have thoughts for you, says the Lord. They're like the sand on the sea. God has dreams for you. God wants you to accomplish more than you can ever accomplish. I think this, guys. I think God's thoughts will not go in vain because we will accomplish some things on earth. But I think we're going to accomplish some more things in heaven. So if my message can say something to you, you got to have a God dream, kingdom dream. You got to have your own dreams, personal dreams. And they got to somehow be interwoven together. So when I go and make money in my business, I say, God, I want the kingdom to benefit from it. Because some of us, we give to every cause in the world. We see puppies on TV. We sign up $19.99 a month. And then we come to church, well, eh. So my money has to be a part of the kingdom. And kingdom has to be a part of my business. And business, you know, and vice versa. So today you got to have a dream. And if you're a Christian, you already have a dream. One, for the kingdom. That's what? Bringing people far from God closer to Jesus. That's what Jesus came to die for. If he didn't care about people, he wouldn't come to die for us. He cares for people. I told a brother of mine today, and I'm going to repeat it to you guys. I said, if you're in a boat, and church is called a boat, and you see somebody drowning, and you're like, no, I got to worship. No, you first pick him up, bring him into the boat, then worship together. Well, no, we got to prophesy. Well, but he's drowning. Get him and then prophesy to him. Amen? Well, no, we got to teach. We got to learn more. It doesn't take much learning to just reach a hand and say, come to church with me. Don't have to be very theologically educated to do that. Do that and then teach them and prophesy to them and then heal the sick and do all this stuff. Amen. So number one dream you must have is kingdom dream. My question to you is, do you have the kingdom dream? Have you lost it somewhere along the way? God is calling you back to get a kingdom dream. Start slow. Don't go crazy like, oh yeah, I'm going to go and change the world. No, start slow and go into that dream. And then what is your personal dream? If you don't have one, here's your assignment. Here's your homework. Write down 10 things you want God to accomplish in your life. 10 things God wants you to accomplish in your life. Put it on your mirror at home. Do kingdom goals. Do personal goals. Do career goals. Do dreams. What does God want you to do? What does God want you to do? Amen. Some of us will play a big part. Some of us will play a small part. But we're all a part of the army of God. Even the cook in the kitchen in the army, right? An important guy. Because if soldiers don't eat, Brock, right? If soldiers don't eat, they're no good. The enemy will get them. So every person is important. And then that's why I'm so thankful to our volunteers for all they're doing at New Life Church. Amen. Kingdom dream. Amen. 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 God has a dream for you. Five more things next week. Amen. I want to ask you, do you know Jesus today? I don't want to finish my message any Sunday without giving somebody opportunity to make a decision to follow Jesus. Guys, if you could turn off the lights and everyone here, if you could, don't have to, but if you want to, please close your eyes and bow your head. I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? He knows you. He knows your name. He knows every hair on your head. He knows everything about you. And today he wants to have a relationship with you. Somebody's business. Somebody's praying about business. God says, dream big. Dream big. Don't fear. Dream big. In Jesus' name, receive that. Hallelujah. Somebody in the back. Thank you, Lord. Now, Jesus wants to be your Lord and Savior. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. He has a dream for you. He has a plan for you. And the first step is saying, God, I receive you in my heart. So I'm going to count to three. And on a count of three, if you would like to give your life to Jesus, if you would like him to come into your heart and transform it, raise your hand and raise it high. Maybe you walked away from God and today you heard something in a short message and you say, God, I want to recommit my life to you. On a count of three, please raise your hand and raise it high. God wants to come in, forgive you, save you, change you, and use you for his kingdom and his glory. Amen. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Please raise your hand and raise it high. One hand, two hands, three hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? One more. Thank you, Father. Let's clap and celebrate. These are the people that are coming to be a part of God's family, our family. So we're going to pray together. Say, Jesus, save me, forgive me. I want to live for you. Give me your dreams for my life and for your kingdom. From this day on, I believe that my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, that I have new life in you. In Jesus' mighty name, I'm a child of God. Amen. Amen. Clap your hands, guys, and bless God.